Blog Talk Radio.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I think very deeply.
Dr. Brian Chan.
Speak on it, son.
Welcome to Speak On It. It's B. Chad. I'm your host again for my second show. The title of the show tonight is Hip Hop on the Quest for Social Justice in the Black Community. What about that intro, folks? That was pretty live, right? Pretty live. For those of you that didn't tune in the first time, welcome to my first shot at having a blog talk radio, and welcome to my consistent listeners now for the second round in about. I'm your host, B. Chad, and I am in the higher education field, but more importantly, I consider myself a concerned African-American black citizen in the United States about the issues that are facing our community. So that's what this show is about. Speak On It is about having the opportunity to voice concerns, offer support, as well as some suggestions to improve family, neighborhood, education, all issues in the black community relative to social justice. So we have this show broken up into three different parts. So I'm going to start off with the first part, which is a black history fact. A rap group from Hollis, Queens, New York, would make music history in 1986. Run DMC released their third album, Raising Hell, in May of 1986. In just two short months, the album would be certified platinum. Platinum as in 1 million in sales. The first time in history this ever occurred that a hip-hop album would reach that level. It would signify that the rap genre was not a fad, as some folks assume. Some folks, as in the music critics, and some in society. But this would signify that the rap genre was here to stay. And as we can see here, 30 years later, in 2016, hip-hop music not only is impacting local, state, communities in the country of U.S., it's abroad. It's touching people international. We're going to talk about how this quest that hip-hop is on for social justice in the black community. Right now, tune in. I want to play a clip of some hip-hop music. Not a whole song, but just about 16 bars of one of my favorite MCs.
People know I play my part through my shit. Alright, let me finish it up. Word. Instead of sitting back making it pop, I'm supporting my people out there facing the cops. Facing the fact they throwing the tear gas, but we throwing it back. Cynthia McKinney gave that cop a smack. I speak the metaphorical rap, underground, subway style. As you can see, I train on tracks. KRS is the greatest, why say all that? When everybody knows that's just a plain old fact. Head crack, boom back, I say those raps. Like cornrows, my raw flow go way back. It's not that I'm so fresh, it's that they so whack. I'm real, they fake, and they know that. H-I-P, H-O-P, I'm the same as that. From the time I was born, I was made to rap. Raised in that, my trade is rap. Till I fade to black, I tell these rich rappers, don't forget what made you that. It don't matter about your clout or where they pay you at. Be an MC for real if you say you that. Don't diss the art form to go way back. I'll turn your tables and you'll get played like that.
KRS-One, knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone. Hip-hop, born in the South Bronx, early 1970s under oppressive conditions. Now, I know some of my hip-hops are out there already saying, no, 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 no. This is up for debate. Some would argue that hip-hop, actually underground hip-hop, was started about 7 years earlier with a gentleman by the name of Clive Campbell, a.k.a. DJ Kool Herc, who was an 18-year-old immigrant who introduced huge sound systems of his native Jamaica to the inner city communities at places like back-to-school parties in New York. This was underground. It hadn't been mainstream. It wasn't introduced to society yet. But it still carried the same identity of talking about the oppressive conditions that Black and Latino youth came together in an effort to improve their communities by expressing themselves through rapping, breakdancing, graffiti art, and turntablism. Hip-hop is more than just music. It's graffiti, tagging, breakdancing, rapping, and of course to my DJs, spinning the wheels. It's a culture. We got to get this definition right. It's a culture which allows us the art of facing some of the real issues that these minority communities faced in the 60s and the 70s. And as we all know today, some of them are still devastated with some of these injustices that we're going to talk about. Before I go any further, I want to give out the number for my guest call in. It's 646-716-5871. If you hear something that motivates you, hear something that touches you in the right or the wrong way, call in. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your concerns and comments about hip-hop, social justice, and its impact in the Black community. Now, these expressions were in response to limited resources, and I mean jobs. I mean good quality educational systems, poverty, gang violence, in one of the boroughs in New York City. Very similar to other musical genres like the blues, country music, where they're expressing their pain in a very artistic, verbal way. Why is hip-hop not valued in the same way by mainstream society as an expression of this pain? Hip-hop is now a worldwide phenomenon. It reaches every corner on the globe and shapes the identity of a whole generation of people. And I said people overall because at once, hip-hop was identified with only the youth. I'm not going to get an age of myself or some of my listeners, but I don't think we're considered to be young and youthful anymore. Hip-hop is here to stay. Like I said, 30 years ago, we had our first hip-hop album go platinum, Raising Hell, 1986. Kids are just invested in the hip-hop culture of today as they were in the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s. And there's concern about how hip-hop is being defined now, what rap is, do we still have real MCs, is it conscious rap, is it club rap? I get it. We want to make sure we get back to what KRS-One said in that clip I played for you. Pay homage to those that made you that. It's going to grow. It will continue to grow. That's what keeps it vibrant. That's what keep it alive. It's true that hip-hop faces a great deal of scrutiny. This scrutiny, of course, are relative to some of the topics that they have been criticized for discussing. Sexist, violent, homophobic. But I want to ask you, so is contemporary cinema, television, sports, other music genres, as well as, more importantly, the wider American culture. As I so simply refer to the television as the idiot box, the entertainment tool that most of us have in front of us too many hours in a day, has become a source of information to society today. Whereas hip-hop is a source of information but education. And I mean not in a formal way. You've heard me say this the last conversation. Hip-hop serves as an informal style of educating, especially those listeners that have been alienated, kicked out of schools, in prison. Another rapper by the name of Jay Jenkins, Jeezy, eloquently refers himself to himself as an educator, meaning he educates the street. And in his conversations, he's covering topics of injustice, social injustice, just as original hip-hop artists have done. Early days of hip-hop were filled with songs that echoed sentiments of a generation with a deep understanding of pain caused by social injustice and undeserved communities. Here in 2016, hip-hop has expanded to other topics, police brutality, mass incarceration, government policies, slavery, war on drugs, economic viability. I mean, these are topics that we often discuss in higher education. Speaking of education, how many of my listeners knew that hip-hop courses are being taught now in over 300 classrooms in the higher educational spectrum? That means over 300 courses at colleges and universities in this country and abroad have created hip-hop classes because of the ability to analyze the lyrics, code the lyrics, discussion, thought-provoking. That's social justice. That's bringing the streets. That's bringing the government. That's bringing economics. That's bringing wealth. That's bringing relationships, family, community, all in the same conversation. Food for thought. Some of these colleges are listed to include University of California at Berkeley, Stanford, University of Michigan, Yale University, Princeton University, New York University, Columbia University. I mean, according to a lot of the research, these are better known as the Ivy League schools and some of the most prestigious universities that we have to offer. I'm intrigued by such a concept. I'm intrigued and wonder why this hasn't trickled down to the local community colleges, to the local four-year colleges, smaller universities. How many of my listeners would sign up for a college course entitled Hip Hop on the Quest for Social Justice in the Black Community? Not only is hip hop in higher education, guess what, folks? Hip hop is now in public schools. One of the best known schools using this approach of hip-hop in the classroom is the High School for the Recording Arts, formerly known as Hip Hop High in St. Paul, Minnesota, which was founded in 1996. But nearly 70% of educational hip hop programs have been started more recently in the last 5 years. It's picking up. It's a trend. It's a trend now because of the value it has in discussing the real issues. Not just these snapshots that we get from the media. Not that mainstream conversation around hip-hop that is often used to discourage listeners, not dig underneath the social roots that have caused such pain. At the Hip-Hop High, students learn about music production, entrepreneurship, lyricism, but hip-hop also has a strong place in other parts of education. Quote, hip-hop education can help engage frustrated African-American and minority students. Hip-hop education can help engage frustrated African-American and minority students. As Rapper Delight plainly talked about, the devastation one sees when they look outside their window every day. The devastation they see in the hallways. Our kids are growing up in some of the same communities that first commercial 1979 song was addressing. Why? Some would say so much have changed. So much has changed. But yet, so much remains to be the same. It's our responsibility to dig deep and understand what hip-hop offers on the quest for social justice in the Black community. I'm opening up the line. We're talking about the issues. I'm waiting on some callers for some comments, some questions, some statements. The number again is 646-716-5871. Hopefully, it's my first time. Yeah, I know I asked for forgiveness the last time. That running across your screen is some pictures of some hip-hop artists. I just want to make sure that you know that I didn't choose my favorite, the best. I was limited with my space, really. Just trying to understand how to incorporate everything into a blog talk, online radio show, present some challenges. So don't anyone get offended. And if you are offended, call in and ask me why I didn't have so-and-so on there. Let's talk about it. You tell me why they should have been there. But nevertheless, we got about 26 pictures that's up. And we just want to advocate on behalf of those that have put the work in through hip hop on this quest for social justice. The Message by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five captivated mainstream America with vivid imagery and a sense of frustration felt by people living in communities that were forgotten by the rest of society. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder why I keep from going under. That's powerful. That's powerful. Get underneath those words for a second. Those of you that haven't heard them before, and those of you that probably hadn't listened to that in a while. It's like a jungle. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Our kids are facing so much degradation, so many problems in the neighborhood with drugs, gun violence, and yes, hip-hop discusses it. They have to. We have to talk about what we see. The authenticity of it. Who else is going to address it? Who else is crying out for some help, for some assistance? Keep from going under, losing my mind, giving up, loss of hope. But at the same time, simultaneously in the country and on the idiot box, we keep advocating for this term, a meritocracy. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We keep advocating to achieve this American dream. How can we achieve this American dream without the vehicle to get there? How can we get there without the resources that are offered to traditional mainstream society? Meeting schools. As I ironically bring the point up again, that hip-hop is being used in public schools today, but yet the issues in the community are still the same. Why is that? Why haven't we holistically addressed it? We're here to fight, to live in unspeakable conditions and still try to remain calm. The expectation for the kids in these communities are ridiculous. Ridiculous. Grow up with all these speed bumps, roadblocks in your path, but still pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Most of them don't even have on boots. Wow. Wow. But yeah, hip hop, the voice of the streets, giving us an explanation, presented in a way that a young kid that dropped out in the eighth grade can understand and relate to. He or she also deserves empowerment. He or she also deserves to know that they didn't build a prison because he or she was born. They built them in 1874, before you was even thought about. Hip-hop is having these conversations about the disparities, the differences in between white crime and black crime, street crime, white-collar crime. How come people that are participating in the same activities are getting treated differently by a criminal justice system? You can't get some of those explanations on television, but you can get it in some of this hip-hop music that we're discussing. They're offering a different lens to address the issues and also expound upon the issues. Some of us folk, but our job, I had higher education degrees. We forget that there are others behind us that we're responsible for. I feel like hip hop reminds me of a struggle that I'm fortunate to be conscious of and be a part of. I feel fortunate that Tupac told us that it's easier to be dead than to live in these horrible conditions in America. That's food for thought. He's not the only one. How many of us are tuning in? Yo, go pull the 80s and the 90s and the CDs and the cassette tapes, pull them back out. Because we owe much more than what we are providing now. And I know we critical of some of this hip hop. We critical of some of the music. Some of us don't even want to call it hip-hop. I have this argument with one of my best friend's brother to me all the time. Man, that ain't hip-hop. That's rap music. Well, here's a conversation that many of us don't want to admit to, But I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe hip hop, rap music, second to sports, is on record as making the most black millionaires. Economic viability, wealth, income, it's a part of this conversation as well. A lot of the originators, the founders of the music, they didn't get paid. We know about mainstream society. The mainstream society came down to control the speech and offer some financial security. So now we aren't getting the same type music that we historically have gotten when it comes to hip-hop. I don't know how we feel about that. How we feel about these young kids that I say been alienated, marginalized, dropout rates, kicked out of school, in the streets, degraded communities. How we feel about them having a different vehicle to achieve this American dream while on the quest for social justice? Call in. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you feel. Speak on it. 646-716-5871. I'm waiting to hear from you. Now, this conversation about mainstream society and hip-hop and millionaires, I want to bring up an issue that is much, much a little more dear to me than, I guess, just the average conversation around hip-hop. How many of you are aware that hip-hop lyrics are used in criminal courts as evidence against the accused? It's documented that there's maybe hundreds, thousand cases where the United States government, as well as state legislation, state attorney general, state district attorney, depending on what geographical region you're located in, are bringing in rap lyrics. And I mean rap lyrics that have been popular, Tupac, but also rap lyrics that some of the kids that I'm talking about, through expression of their pain in their communities that they're doing on their own, been used against them in violent acts. For example, in New Jersey in 2008, a young man was convicted. He was convicted of attempted murder. And they found rap lyrics in his car doing the search, doing the investigation, that used violent language on others. And the judge allowed for that to be submitted into evidence against this young man. He was convicted, found guilty. And according to the reports, those rap lyrics had a great deal to do with his conviction. Now, I don't know about you all, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. But I struggle with understanding how, unless it was a threat, name names, how expressing the pain and the reality of violence and guns and drugs through art expression can be used in criminal courts. I would like to give a shout out to a colleague of mine who is an expert witness in hip-hop lyrics. She actually was called to testify in this case, and not as a direct result, but as a part of reviewing the evidence, this young man's conviction has been overturned. Another stamp for hip-hop and the quest for social justice. Public school, education, higher education, and now even the criminal courts are using and aware of the power of hip-hop. I can't believe y'all let me off the hook with the common everyday conversation of whether or not it's hip hop or rap music. I thought we'd be calling in talking some real deep conversations on it, huh? I know we got some issues with some of our new rappers, right? Our new hip hop artists. But I do want to remind you, everybody isn't seeing the same thing out of their windows. Doesn't mean it's not a form of expression. Which brings me to my next point in the criminal court case. It's about the First Amendment and free speech, right? Well, there's a correlation between hip-hop lyrics being used in criminal courts and the freedom of expression. Black speech has always been policed. Historically, in the southern states, it was outlawed to teach slaves how to read. They did not want them to be educated. The power of education, the power of knowledge, that's suppression of black speech. Black speech during the Jim Crow era, separate bathroom, separate everything, back of the bus, was controlled by legal measures, meaning the law, what was written on the books, but it was also controlled by illegal, socially created groups like the KKK, the media. Powerful, a threat. Also, the FBI monitored a number of the civil rights leaders' speech publicly and privately. And I'm pretty sure we've heard the conversations around Dr. King's room being bugged, his conversations being made public. And then, of course, from that, as one would say, trumped up charges whenever he was headed to do certain organizing, sit-ins, marches. It's a way to suppress the black speech. If you are speaking against mainstream society, and if you can become a threat, not just on a local level, but if you can get an audience, this may happen. And I feel that this is a part of what has happened with hip-hop on the quest for social justice. So mainstream America comes in to suppress those that are bringing up the real issues and putting the government on trial, bringing attention to some of this pain. There's a way to navigate this social justice perspective differently. Why don't we pay for less unconscious rap? Why don't we offer more money? Let's see how they respond. Let's see if we can alienate, separate, segregate the contemporary from the historical foundation of what hip-hop was intended to do. It's about information and education, folks. It really is. Hey, I had my shell toe Adidas, my Adidas suit, and my fat laces. For all my youthful young listeners that don't know what fat laces are, don't Google it. Call in to speak on it, and I'll tell you what fat laces are. At 646-716-5871. I don't want to leave this suppression of the black speech alone. Some of you that know me, I often get in trouble because I have a hard time not being blunt and upfront. The truth, and I believe it's parallel with hip hop, the truth is what's been left out. A number of conversations to educate not only blacks, but society about the black struggle. And I mean, even more modern day of trying to remove certain terms out of Huck Finn's book, Tom Sawyer, so we can rewrite some of the history to be painted in a different light as if there wasn't racism in this country. I wonder if this is another form of rewriting the history. I wonder if this inclusion into mainstream society through economic prosperity, I would assume, but less silence black speech. I used to always wonder about how come certain MCs, certain artists, how come they didn't get more money? Some of the music that's out now, I don't even know how it's played on the radio. And these are the people with more accumulation of wealth from the product. What do we value? That's on us. We can't fall for the hype. We got to continue to go back and pull the hip hop that educated our community. Speak on it. 646-716-5871. Now I'm going to talk about some of the artists, some of the groups that have done some of the social justice work. Relevant to Black Lives Matter, we got the Zulu Nation. The Universal Zulu Nation is an international hip-hop awareness group formed and headed by hip-hop pioneer Afrika Bambaataa. There's hip-hop education and literacy programs, better known as the acronym HELP, or the Hip Hop Educational Literacy Program, which offers cutting-edge supplemental reading workbooks developed around the lyrics of popular hip-hop songs in order to provide culturally responsive teaching materials that motivate students to read and improve literacy skills. Folks, they're using hip-hop lyrics to educate our kids. You don't hear that on the television. That's another way of thinking. They're using it, but not applauding it. And they're using historical works. The Hip Hop Archive at Harvard University. The Hip Hop Archive organizes and develops collections. It initiates and participates in research activities, hip hop and research. Sponsors events and acquires material culturally associated with hip hop in the United States and throughout the world. Some great things going around with hip hop, folks. Not sure how many of us are aware of this. Did you know there was a class taught at Georgetown University on Jay-Z? Pretty sure most of you are aware about the classes at Stanford University around Tupac. There's great sociologists, philosophers, Dr. Cornel West, hip-hop album, writing books, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. He has a book on hip-hop. Hip-hop has affected us all in this quest for social justice. It has helped make others' careers, even academics, radio hosts, radio shows, television, Deaf Poetry Jam, Russell Simmons, Spoken Words. It spread its wings, folks. We got to value that. We got to value the consciousness that hip-hop forces us to consider. As far as Black Lives Matter, Talib Kweli, conscious rapper, very conscious rapper. You have to hit rewind a couple times before you really understand what Talib is giving. But once you get it, that consciousness can never be reversed. He participates in protests and has been on media talk shows explaining the difference between Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter. God's son, Nas, and Usher, little R&B in there. I guess a crossover. I've heard him spit a little bit. They released a video for Anti-Police Violence, song entitled Chains. Very relative to the history of struggle in Black folks coming up with music to express the issues that one faces. The video forces that they put out, Chains, it forces the viewers to look at the faces of the police killings. Those Black men that have died at the hands of police brutality. That's hip hop on the quest for social justice. Not being afraid to talk about the real conversation. We can't continue to ignore them. All the music we listen to can't be about dancing. Some of it's not even funny. Not when the communities are still facing the injustice that we know exists. Join me, my listeners. Join me as I step on the quest for social justice in the Black community. Mos Def, and this is something that my team did that I was not even aware of. So I would like to give a shout out to my team for all the effort and the research that they do to help me prepare for the show. But he agreed to submit his body and fame to a form of torture. Body, bit, being involved, being chained to a feeding chair, while doctors inserted more than a meter of rubbing tubing up his nose, down his throat, and to his stomach. You know, I'm going to put that on pause because we got a caller, and I want to take the call right now, so I'll be right back with that. Good evening. Speak on it. Hello?
Hip-hop in America.
Hip-hop in America. How you doing? Good evening. Who am I speaking with?
This is Joseph Patrick Brennan.
How you do, Mr. Brennan? Thank you for calling in.
I'm fine, Mr. Brian Sparks. I wanted to get your impact on the urban and the hip-hop in America and how it's affecting the youth or how it's not affecting the youth.
Mr. Brennan wants to know my perspective on hip hop and how it's affecting the youth and how it's not affecting the youth. Very good question there, Mr. Brennan. Thank you for calling in. I feel that hip hop has had a huge impact on the youth. And I don't mean in a more structured way of just schools. I mean in a way of educating them to understand the issues that the Black community is facing. Now, I know that may sound a little vague, so I'm going to break it down a little bit more, right, Mr. Brennan?
Yeah.
The youth these days are no different than the youth were when we were young. No, and the history of it.
Right.
And I think it's a cop-out for us as adults and parents and teachers and mentors and coaches to use that vehicle as a way out to say that they are worse than what we were. I think hip hop now is not having the same effect as it did on my generation because it's not as conscious. So they aren't as accountable to the Black community and not as aware of these issues because our generation didn't pass that down as the value of what hip hop serves to the Black community.
Right. There you go. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Hopefully I addressed your question, Mr. Brennan. You want to offer any comments?
I appreciate those inspiring words, and I will take that to the youth in my area, in my community, down here in Columbia, South Carolina. So I just want to appreciate everything you got to say for helping the community and other individuals see the light on what we're trying to do now. And I appreciate you every bit, Mr. Starks.
Thank you, Brother Brennan. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate those kind words. We're well on our way, brother.
And I will continue to listen to you and see what other further information I can gather throughout the show.
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
You too.
As you heard, he did shout out Columbia, South Carolina. I do have a relationship with that city. That is my hometown, born and raised. Proud of it. And, hip-hop was huge in my neighborhood, in my community. I mean, you know, we had rappers, we had DJs, we had MCs. You know, me, I was fortunate enough to kind of, you know, I hung around some older cats, you know, some older homeboys in the neighborhood, but I also had some homies that was my age as well. But I got introduced into hip-hop by the older heads, so I was able to get albums. Shouts out to them Sure 6X9, them needles at Radio Shack, right? We used to go to Radio Shack at the local mall, Dutch Square, to go in there and get our Sure 6X9. Yeah, I used to DJ a little bit around my boys, not as much as with the older boys because I wasn't as good. But I was still bringing it back to my folks, my age group. So we used to go to one homeboy house. I'd go over there and swap out albums. He had a gang of albums. They had microphones. They even got some music. Even got some rap music, some tapes still out. I'm in possession of one, and you know, I may play a couple songs from that old school, that Bonnie Forrest neighborhood hip hop legacy during those 85 and 86 years. But thank you, Mr. Brennan. I do appreciate you bringing in that from the hometown. Just to get back to the conversation on Mos Def. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say it again. Callers, 646-716-5871. Mos Def agreed to submit his body to a form of torture. He put a rubber tubing up his nose, down his throat, and to his stomach. This drew attention to the fact that this is happening daily to about 45 hunger strikers at Guantanamo Bay. Reprieve. Help people who suffer extreme human rights abuses at the hands of the world's most powerful government. Now, we're talking about a brother that's a hip-hop artist, conscious, that's an actor. Excuse me, successful actor. We're talking purpose. We're talking, why did he do this? What money was he getting from this? Not a thing. This is about hip-hop artists using their status for social justice to bring attention to issues on human rights. Mos Def asked to participate in this reprieve, which, you know, these folks always been aware that in his fight against human rights abuses, there's no substitute for the court of public opinion. That's the accountability that I'm talking about. I'm talking about parents, teachers, coaches carrying some of this court of public opinion and addressing these issues from the space that you're in. Mr. Brennan just called in and offered up, some of this same type conversation about our youth today. And hip hop is presented in so many different forms and poetry and lyrics, but some of that accountability about where I am and what I can do for social justice, we don't hear enough about that. We don't hear enough about that from these artists. Mos Def, he fasted the entire day. Of course, he was fatigued, tired, but ask the doctors to manipulate nothing in the test, the torture, and reproduce the experience of the detainees in the Guantanamo Bay as accurately as they could. He got out of his regular clothes. He jumped into an orange jumpsuit, just like the detainees. His doctor lubricated the tubing and without warning, began feeding it up his nose. Can you imagine that pain? Can you imagine that pain? It's a little, makes it much more substantive, a little closer to us when we put most death name in front of it, in that this is a human rights issue. This is torture. This is suppressing the black speech to not expose what we are doing to minorities. He squirmed, of course, spluttered. Second doctor in the room held his face down as Mos Def yelled out this pain, screaming. The fight grew. It intensified. Mos Def began to fight back. 45 detainees at Guantanamo Bay daily are being subjected to this type of torture. Mos Def was able to get one of his hands loose, get one of his hands free. Then the tubes began to fall out. The doctors, on Mos Def's request, they wouldn't let him go. They pinned him down again, and he began screaming at that point, quote, please stop, please stop, I can't do it. And at that point, the experiment ended. What is it, folks? What is it? We talk government policy. We talk mass incarceration, war on drugs, poverty, violence, drugs, joblessness, reentry for those that are coming home from the prison institution. We talk prison industrial complex. We talk poor schools. We run on and on about dropout rates, pushout rates. We're taking this accountability to heart now that our kids are worse off than what than kids were 20 and 25 years ago. I challenge that mindset. I challenge that thinking and ask that we, if not in a formal way, we got access to this music. Go back and listen to KRS. Tribe Called Quest, Public Enemy. Go back and listen to what they were screaming about our responsibility is to the youth, to each other. Get that foundation, get that edge back, and express it in an artistic way. Express it, my school teachers. Have your kids do some homework on hip-hop. Have them code and break down and analyze the lyrics. I guarantee you, it could be a new way to build trust and rapport. It could be a new way for them to recognize skills that have been hidden by the mainstream society. I know what hip-hop has done for me. It challenged me. Rewind. I can remember sitting in the room waiting for the Friday night mix show to come on with my hands on my radio, my two fingers on the play and record button, because you had to push both of them if you was going to make you a tape. In my room with the door closed, trying to get the hottest music so I could share it with my boys so we could listen to it. And from that, now we writing down the lyrics as we listen, because there was pride in knowing what the words were. When I finally got some money to go buy my first cassette tape, we loved the insert of the album. And man, you got the lyrics? It was a competition to know the lyrics. If you borrowed an album from the homeboy and you lost the, what? Man, where my insert and my tape? We wanted to know because we were hungry. who was searching for that knowledge. Hip-hop on the quest for social justice in the black community. Now, you don't have the inserts. They don't print the words anymore when you buy CDs or those that are uploading or downloading or whatever it may be. I'm not really sure we have that same connection to the lyrics. I want to know what you're saying. I need to know what you're thinking. Sometimes those songs are the only things that get us through those rough days. Some of us that are on this fight, we need to know that someone else is going through it just like I am. We need to know that I am not the only one. And if you can think about it, a lot of the Negro spirituals, that's exactly what it was. The folks wasn't singing under those conditions because they was happy. Expression of pain, making plans. How are we going to get out of here? What's our next move? Other genres have been highlighted, appreciated. Where is ours? Last part of the show is the Black Achievement. It goes to two of the best hip-hop groups of all time. Run DMC will receive the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, first rappers ever, and NWA will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year, and they will be the fourth rap group ever. Hip-hop is finally starting to receive its recognition as an important contributor to society. Hey, folks. I appreciate you listening tonight to speak on it. I feel good about the show. We want to increase those call-ins in 2 weeks on February 15th when you tune in at 7 o'clock. And we do a tribute to some of the great achievements in the history of the black community. I hope you enjoy the short 28 days that we now know respectively as Black History Month. I hope each and every day you look for a new black fact to share with your colleagues, your coworkers, your children, your neighbors. Start a conversation. If it's the 28 days we get, let's take advantage of the 28. I know every day I'm going to be challenging my folks through text messages and phone calls. Guess what? Guess what I learned today? I expect you all, my fellow friends, challenge me. Send me something. Again, I appreciate you listening, tuning in on Speak On It, and make sure you tune in next week. I'm sorry, February 15th, when we have a tribute to Black History Month. Good night.